Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by Covenant Church Spokane and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but being in Jesus Christ, and it's about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. Isaiah 61, 1 through 4, the gospel of the kingdom. The spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins, they will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. That is our job today. In this time that we are in, that is our job. In fact, I don't think anybody really disputes that anymore, but that is our job. We have witnessed in our country a dramatic and significant degradation here in the last few weeks. Today, looks like the United States Senate may actually vote to say that the trial, which is clearly unconstitutional, is constitutional. Which means that Republicans joined the ranks of the traitors again. And right now, it is going to be up to us, the people, to preserve liberty. It's going to be us, the people, that is going to do that. It's not going to be anybody else. It's not going to be some hero. It's going to be us. And I hope everybody understands that these folks are not going to stop. They are going to continue to attack and attack and attack. They're being so open and brazen about it right now. Let's not worry about that as much. Let's worry about what we're going to do in this time. How are we going to stand in this time for freedom and liberty? And that brings me to your daily intelligence briefing. Mike Lindell came out with the movie Absolute Proof. I'm going to go to the national front first. In fact, we're not going to even go to the international front. We're going to start here. Now, among the witnesses is coming to us from the New American. And by the way, they have a link to the movie up on the New American website. So that's not being taken down. So if you want to go watch the movie, and I strongly urge that you do, Absolute Proof. Among the witnesses that are showcased are cyber warfare specialist Colonel Phil Waldron, cybersecurity analyst Russell Ramsland, U.S. Senate candidate Dr. Shiva Ayadri, Michigan election attorney Matt DiPerno, and this IT contract worker for Dominion Voting Systems, Melissa Caroni. And I have looked at a lot of the stuff that is there. You have very clear evidence of election fraud. There is no question. And in fact, according to a report that is in the film, quote, "We conclude that the Dominion voting system is intentionally and purposefully designed with inherent errors to create systematic fraud and influence election results," end quote. quote, the system intentionally generates an enormously high number of ballot errors. And continues, the electronic ballots are then transferred for adjudication. The intentional errors lead to bulk adjudication of ballots with no oversight, no transparency, and no audit trail. This leads to voter or election fraud. End quote. The other is very interesting, because in the film, Lindell presents video footage of controversial Dominion executive Eric Coomer saying how to connect their machines to the internet, even though their machines are not supposed to be connected to the internet. And the film actually shows the slides from the Dominion manual explicitly diagramming how the Dominion machines connect to the internet. And then the really stunning part, the investigative journalist Mary Fanning presents a detailed graphic representation showing thousands of actual cyber intrusions and attempted intrusions by foreign actors into our voting machines in virtually all of the counties nationwide. All, you heard that. So when they were talking about foreign interference in the election, they were actually projecting ahead several years. Go watch the movie. There's more than that, though. I mean, there is more than that out there. And some more things are beginning to come to light that we're going to be talking about here over the next couple of weeks on Patriot Radio in regards to this. But I think it's important that we understand that this is an attempt to try to collapse this country as fast as it can because they realize Americans are waking up. Jumping back to the international front for a second, this coming to us from InfoWars, who has absolved China of blame for COVID after visiting the virus lab for 3 hours? Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is why Trump didn't want to have anything to do with the World Health Organization, because they're not about health. I don't even know if they're much of an organization. In addition to that, and coming back to the national front, going back to the election issues, there's an election night mystery, a film that's coming to us from WorldNet Daily. Film shows a van delivering ballots after the deadline. This is specifically a video released by Gateway Pundit. It allegedly shows a white van delivering dozens of boxes of ballots to be counted in Detroit's TCF Center hours after the deadline on election night in November. I mean, they even have a picture of the front of the van and everything. They may have it on video. Dead to rights. If you're delivering ballots after the deadline, then that would be fraud. So is that fraud caught on video? Looks like it. Check that out on WorldNet Daily. Also, one of the bravest people in modern journalism, Laura Logan, very clearly came out today and commented on the calls to, quote, deprogram Trump supporters. Because media elites are putting this out everywhere. Katie Couric said, quote, the question is, how are we going to almost deprogram these people who have signed up for the cult of Trump, end quote. You know, when you say stuff like that, you are actually parroting communist rhetoric. Communist rhetoric from the 1920s. Nazi rhetoric from the 1930s and 40s. Stalin's rhetoric, that's what they're parroting. And the fact of the matter is that quite literally they're trying to make the idea of deprogramming acceptable to Americans. I got to tell you something, that literally is the unconstitutional thing that is like a line in the sand, like people trying to come take your guns. You're going to round people up and put them in camps? This is one of the other quotes that Laura Logan was talking about here. Quote, there are millions of Americans, almost all white, almost all Republicans, who somehow need to be deprogrammed. It's as if they're members of a cult, the Trumpist cult, and they need to be deprogrammed. End quote, said Eugene Robinson, associate editor of the Washington Post, during a recent appearance on MSNBC. And this article is up on CBN News. This sustaining narrative of demonization is part of a – it's actually part of a cycle that communists use where they eventually justify the attempt to eliminate large swaths of people. This happened under Vladimir Lenin, happened under Joseph Stalin, happened under Adolf Hitler. And yes, Adolf Hitler was a socialist, and I had somebody try to argue with me about that. Aside from the fact it's the National Socialist Party, aside from the fact that he implemented universal health care, aside from the fact that he limited free speech, limited the right to bear arms, all these planks of the socialists. The fact is that these systems of government and economic systems, under the guise of socialism, progressivism, liberalism, communism, they always result in the attempt to destroy people, because it's harbored in our hearts, the spirit of liberty. Freedom is in our heart. You can't get to that unless you start killing people. Lenin actually came out and said that exact thing, that the repository of this needs to be destroyed, and he was implying human beings. So, as Laura Logan says, this is what the propaganda targeting Donald Trump was all about. This is what it was all about. It was about demonizing conservatives. And it was also about prepping other people in this country to accept them being rounded up and put into camps. And they're actually saying this now. They're actually calling for a secret police. And I put this in a presentation about how these people are being right out in the open. This is not hyperbole. You can read the quotes. So right now, and this is the quote from Laura Logan. So right now it's reprogramming or deprogramming Trump supporters. What about when it's about deprogramming Christians of all kind? Yeah. I mean, my goodness, are we really there? And the answer is, yeah, that's what they're talking about. Also, coming to us on the national front, along the same lines, an LA Times writer compares his charitable neighbors who voted for Trump to Nazis, not realizing they're really nice people. This ingrate is what it says here on the New American, a professed ingrate, actually, maligned his neighbors and couldn't understand how they were so helpful after they actually helped shovel his driveway of snow. Says, quote, of course, on some level, I realize I owe them thanks. And man, it really looks like the guy back dragged the driveway like a pro, but how much thanks, end quote. And then added, quote, this is kind of weird. Back in the city, people don't sweep other people's walkways for nothing, end quote. They can't even understand Christian charity. That's how debased in their minds these people are. They can't even understand Christian charity. Along these same lines, this coming to us from Technocracy News. Leaders warned, obey the technocrats on COVID or go to prison. Fascinating that this issue is so crystal clear right now. And here's a quote from the article. The experts intend to use the fear of future pandemics as an excuse to increase their own naked power under the aegis of global governance removed from democratic influence. End quote. I mean, people are calling this out now for the sham, the scam, the lie that it is. Basically and clearly, they are using COVID to try to lock down control. Here is the interesting thing. U.S. Customs and Border Protection used COVID as an excuse to install facial recognition at 76 airports. Again, this coming to us from Technocracy News. A recent DHS report titled the CBP Trade and Travel Report reads like an instruction manual on how to exploit the public's fear of COVID. The report is a perfect example of how the feds used the pandemic as an excuse to install facial recognition cameras across the country. End quote. Quote, despite the overall decrease in travel, biometric processing increased dramatically. CBP biometrically processed more than 23 million travelers using biometric facial comparison technology at entrance, exit, and pre-clearance locations. Wow. This is fascinating. This is all for your safety. And this is super important to understand. The Constitution was written in an emergency for emergencies and can never be eviscerated, undermined, ignored because of emergencies. But that's exactly what they want to do. It's always for our safety. And that is always the refrain of tyrants. And so here we are seeing it again. Seeing it again. All right. Want to talk too about this article from Big League Politics. Democrats move to ban Trump supporters from joining the military and holding federal jobs. Yes, that is correct. All right. Rep. Stephanie Murphy, Democrat from Florida, of course. Okay. Supporters of Donald Trump should be barred from the public sector as well. Murphy, who is a member of the House Armed Services Committee, recently proposed a bill that would prevent members of the, quote, Stop the Steal movement, end quote, from being able to obtain security clearances. And these security clearances are a necessity for Americans who wish to join the U.S. military, etc. We all know that. The legislation titled the Security Clearance Improvement Act of 2021, of course, requires applicants looking to obtain or renew their federal security clearances to disclose that they participated in the January 6th rally in Washington. Now, I got to tell you something. This is illegal. It is unconstitutional to even ask that question. Somebody that is exercising their rights that are protected under the Constitution of the United States of America. And remember, these are not constitutional rights. These are constitutionally protected rights because these rights come from God. Any person who is exercising a right can never be discriminated against for exercising that right. So the fact they're even talking about this means they literally want to do political purges in America, and they are totally unafraid of talking about it. Meanwhile, we have this article from Frank DeVerona on Liberty Sentinel, there is a quote, great and urgent danger of an EMP attack that would obliterate the United States and kill most Americans. Now, one of the very first things that the pretender did was eliminate the protections. He actually suspended the protections of our power grid here in the United States of America. Now, Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, who we've had on this show before, one of the foremost experts on electromagnetic pulse, but also any sort of cyber attacks, etc., against our grid, understands that we are woefully unprepared. And as part of this article on Liberty Sentinel, it says, quote, China has been working on an array of weapons, including laser beam weapons, counter-space weapons, maneuverable missile warheads, artificial intelligence, directed robots, and hypersonic weapons. Their weapons could easily knock out satellites. But more than that, these hypersonic missiles could also be part of an EMP attack. And the Chinese have actually written this into their doctrine. They have written about this in things like Unrestricted Warfare, General Chiwatian Speech. You can go look all that stuff up online. This stuff's real, folks. They want to go there. They want to go there. And that brings us to the last article that I want to talk about today, which is just, it's just horrendous. This is horrendous. In Texas, a mother of two murdered girls admitted that their father killed them because they had non-Muslim boyfriends. So they finally admit that this was an honor killing in Texas. Horrific situation. Sharia compliance mandating this kind of stuff is completely incompatible with the Constitution of the United States of America. Just as a matter of direct law. You see these kind of things and you just kind of wonder, you know, what were they thinking, right? When the warning signs came and people were trying to do something about this. But the fact of the matter is most Americans are oblivious to this. And we can't be any longer. We cannot be any longer. I want to talk quickly, too, about the regional front. We talked about how Glenn Morgan, we had him on the show last week. He was going to go do an act of free speech at the Capitol. I wanted to make sure we followed up on that. So Glenn Morgan did indeed show up. And they committed an act of free speech. And they warned them they were coming. They told them they were coming. They were using amplified speech there. And what happened? The state backed down. This is going to be more and more clear. And this is, well, this is a little path to victory. A little win. It was still a good win. He was not arrested, but they notified him Friday, the day before the event, that they would, quote, suspend enforcement of the rules they had been referencing in the previous weeks when they threatened to cite and arrest others for committing free speech on the campus, end quote. Now, maybe a small victory, but a good victory. So Glenn Morgan was not arrested and successfully stared down the face of tyranny in Washington state. I think this has to happen everywhere. We have to stare down these folks who don't even understand the Constitution, and let alone have read it, and just call their bluff on this stuff. When they try to fine business owners $30,000 for being open, we've got to call their bluff on this stuff. And sheriffs, local police chiefs need to step up and uphold their oaths to the Constitution, which very clearly was never intended to do this stuff. It was instead it was intended to protect the very right of setting up your own business, the very right of free speech, the very right to bear arms. That's why it's going to take us as we the people to do this. Now, I've got a great guest coming on here in a couple of minutes, but I just want to leave you with this thought that we can't sit back and just do nothing. We can't sit back and expect the disappointingly Republican so-called leaders in Congress and in the Senate to do anything about this stuff. It's going to be us. And so organize now, bring together unaffiliated folks. And this is what's terrifying. Americans everywhere are organizing right now. Check out the John Birch Society. Organize, fight back, attend these hearings, that even if it's on Zoom, weigh in on this stuff. Run for local elected office if you're feeling led to do that. But get organized right now and stand up like Glenn Morgan did to these tyrants. That is a perfect picture, of what we should all do as Americans so that we can transfer, we can ensure that our posterity inherits the freedom and liberty that we were given when we were kids. Interestingly enough, and I just got a breaking, it looks like I got a breaking news thing coming in here. Just a second. So it looks like the feckless rhino leader in the House of Representatives in Olympia is now attempting to push all conservatives out of the House Republican caucus. Well, it looks like I led the way there. This is but a taste of what these people are really about. Do not vote for another rhino. And there are plenty out there. If you have somebody that is not supporting Liberty State in Eastern Washington, you need to question their understanding of where we're at in this country and their understanding of the Constitution. If they're not standing for life unashamedly and introducing pro-life bills, if they're not backing the right to bear arms, look, we can't have rhinos in there anymore. It's really clear the standard by which they're supposed to represent, and that's the Constitution. And if they're not doing it, they're going on a war path against conservatives, they should never be elected again. Vote them out of office. Stop at nothing in exposing this stuff. Spread it, become the media, and make sure that these people aren't allowed to do this again. Because these people become the rhinos have become the designated defeat mechanism for the Marxists in America. No question about it. All right. That is the briefing. And remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. If you get a chance, you can catch Patriot Radio on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and Amazon. We also replay across the ACN network at 9 o'clock every night as well. And, you know, you can shoot that podcast to whoever you need to send. Make sure they get educated on what is happening in this country and that they actually stand up as Christians and patriots in this hour. All right, my pleasure to introduce today Dr. Jonathan Hansen of World Ministries International. He has been a longtime person on ACN in many different capacities, but he was the founder and president of World Ministries International. He has more degrees than a thermometer in Iraq. It's incredible. And he has been in the military. He's been in law enforcement. He studied psychology. But more importantly, he has spread the gospel of the kingdom throughout the entire world. Dr. Hansen, it's great to have you on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing?
Well, thank you, Matt. It's always good to be with you.
Well, my goodness, we are looking at a mess in this country right now. I want to start with the Bible, and I want to start with what should be the correct worldview for Christians right now in this time?
Well, again, I think the Bible is so very clear. The purpose of God through his church, according to Psalm 72:19, is to reveal his glory over all the earth. Genesis 1, 26 through 28, Matthew 28, 19 through 20, Luke 19, 13, as well as Matthew 5, 13, God tells Christians to take dominion, subdue, be salt, occupy, make disciples of the inhabitants of the earth. If Christians fail to do this, then we are ruled by evil men. If evil men rule, we are persecuted. If the Christians fulfill their God-given responsibility, obey the Great Commission, make disciples of all nations, then we are blessed and we are prosperous. And that's what made this nation prosperous and blessed. Because as you know, and I'm sure your listeners know, this nation was founded on Judeo-Christian values and beliefs. And that's what made America great.
So right now we've seen a massive erosion of that. We're seeing Marxists attempt a takeover of this country. What do you see coming? And you've been in countries all over the world, so please use your life experiences in sharing some of the things that you've seen in the rest of the world. America's been fairly insulated from this stuff for a long time, but now we're seeing it actually come to our shores.
Well, I have. I've traveled the nation since 1985, nation after nation, and in all sorts of nations, whether it's Islamic, communist, nations that call themselves presidents, but they're dictators. And all these nations have one similarity. There is no justice. There is no righteousness, so to speak. Righteousness is the will of God. Righteousness brings justice. Selfishness is the will of man. Communism will never work on earth because it is ruled by men. And all of these nations, they have one thing in common. They take away your guns. They take away your freedoms, your rights, and they control the people. And if you try to rebel, then they slaughter you. All over the world, nations who are not protected by, again, our Bill of Rights that protects us, our Constitution, our First Amendment, our Second Amendment, and the others, then they have no recourse. We are supposed to have freedom of expression. We're supposed to be able to speak, but right now we're under total censorship. And this is nothing but communism. I just wrote an article, Marxists and Democrats, Communism in America. And it goes into what's going on right now in America. I had you on my program, the Warning radio program last week, and I think the week before, and we talked about this a little bit. But the Democratic Party hates the Constitution. Most people don't seem to realize that, but they hate the Constitution. The Democratic Party has been working for a long time with communists. You can take it all the way back if you want to even go further back. But, you know, the KGB agent, Yuri Bezmenov, who defected from the Soviet Union, escaped to Canada. You know, he went to great lengths to try to warn Americans about the stealth attack the Soviets were waging against them. Bezmenov said only about 15% of the Soviets' time, money, and manpower was spent on espionage as such. He said the remaining 85% was a slow process which we call either ideological subversion or active measures. Now, get this, Matt, between the years 1935 and 1953, the Communist Party USA enlisted Soviet support of at least 3,500 professors. Documents from the Soviet archives reveal that even after the collapse of the Soviet Union, the Communist Party USA received $2 million to $3 million each year from the Kremlin. Now, 3,500 professors, you say, why in the world do people graduate from universities and they seem to hate America. They're walking with Black Lives Matter. They're walking with Antifa. In fact, Antifa, when you look at the arrests of people associated with Antifa, you have teachers all over the place because they're teaching communism. They're teaching Marxism. They hate America. They hate our Constitution, our way of life. These people believe that, again, the New World Order is the way to go. So they believe in world citizenship. They're not taught to be faithful Americans. They're not taught the United States history. In fact, they look at our leaders, our founding fathers, and they look at them as racist. So this is what's going on all around the world. It's no freedom. I've been in these countries, and in fact, I just interviewed on television just Saturday. I had them in our service here at World Ministries International, our chapel, our Bible college, and they spoke to Ukrainians from the Ukraine. And they were telling about a pastor, a youth pastor, who was framed. Now, he had all the witnesses in the world, Matt, all the witnesses. He had three witnesses corroborating where he was. He had the alibi, and yet they framed him. All they do is they beat you up, they torture you, and the wife and daughter were there, and he knew that they would go on to the wife and daughter, so he signed a confession. Now, he's been, if you want to say the gulag, he's been in a prison camp for 23 years for triple homicide, and he wasn't near the place. And he had witnesses, but they don't care. You know, you get into President Nixon. He was framed. President Nixon was framed by the prosecutors and the judges that trampled all over the Constitution and his rights. The Bill of Rights, they trampled all over everything, did way more actual violations of laws than he ever did by trying to protect America from the communists invading the Democratic Party. And he was ousted from office. And this is the same thing going on against President Donald Trump. They're framing him. You have prosecutors. You have judges involved, you have the CIA involved, you have the FBI involved, and you have pastors that are sitting back, just like they did in Germany, and they're doing nothing. They're doing nothing, and we are being taken over by communism. This is outright communism, Matt, and you know it.
It is, absolutely. And that's really the question is, I'm setting you up for a softball on this one, but why do you think the pulpits are so silent, and what should pastors be talking about right now?
Well, I know that for the last 9 months, I spoke extensively behind the pulpits, wherever I was, on radio, on television. I wrote about it, like this article that just went out, Marxism and Democrats, communism in America. I mean, it just went out. Went out a little while ago. Was called "It's Time to Fight Back," and I went into people like John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg, the Lutheran minister, who on January 21, 1776, stood before his congregation preaching out of Ecclesiastes 3:1-8. This is what it says: to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones again, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get up, a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. Time to rend, a time to sow, a time to turn, to keep silence, a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. And when he reached this eighth verse, a time of war and a time of peace, he took off his clergy robe, and beneath it was a colonel's uniform of the Continental Army, and he exhorted his congregation, this was a time for war. And he recruited on the spot 162 men from his congregation to join him that very day. Now, a Lutheran pastor fought in the American Revolution to prevent tyranny. He was so fearless and faithful in his duties, he was promoted to brigadier general. Later, when the revolution was won and freedom gained, he moved to Pennsylvania. He served on the Supreme Executive Council of Pennsylvania. Several years later, he was the president of the council, equivalent to lieutenant governor. Muhlenberg finally elected to the first Congress, and so this Lutheran pastor not only fought for freedom, but was heavily involved in politics. This pastor certainly thought Christians were supposed to fight for freedom, as he was, and he recruited his own men attending his congregation, but he served politically. Now, let's look at another pastor who knew God and knew his God-given responsibility to resist evil and preach against sin. These Christian leaders and pastors understood the difference between right and wrong and their spiritual responsibilities according to scriptures. Today, most pastors, I believe, have become such spiritual wimps who twist the word of God for personal gain. They're afraid to speak against sin and confront those in their church involved in sin because they don't want to offend, quote, this is our terminology in the clergy, and I've been ordained now for an awful long time. They call them their giving unit. Now, I classify these worthless pastors, they just want to collect their tithes because their ignorance of the Word of God and lack of true intimate relationship with God that comes from hours with Him daily in intimate fellowship with God, these type of pastors do more harm to their church than good. Now, I'm on many boards. I'm talking about the International Coalition of Apostolic Leaders, Apostolic Boards, councils of cross-denominational of the highest ministers holding offices. And I speak out quite a bit on these issues because the pastors themselves, were in, you know, the Bible says, will I find faith when I return? And we're in such a condition of back. You know, the church is lukewarm. It's backsliding. Jesus said, will I find faith? He that overcomes. And we have adapted synchronism where many pastors are in love with the world more than they are actually in love with God himself. Now, this actually took me out of law enforcement. I was on the SWAT team. I was on the investigated felony crime. I was the president of the Fellowship of Christian Peace Officers over the FBI, the CIA, U.S. Marshals, Secret Service, local county police. I worked 10 years in law enforcement. But I had a nighttime vision. I saw myself traveling the nations. I saw myself ministering to the masses, ministering to the presidents, the prime ministers, which now I do. I saw the heartbeat of God. I saw his heart, and it was broken. And I asked the Lord, I said, why is your heart broken? And he said, because my church is in love with the world more than me. My bride is in love with the world. And I said, why? And he said, because of the pastor behind the pulpit. Now, I came out of that dream, that nighttime vision, sweating. And because also in that dream, I saw end time events. I saw apocalyptic events. I saw death lines. I saw what is happening in the United States even now. Now, since March, I've had 15 dreams talking about civil unrest, civil war, and an invasion. I could literally back this up with what research we've done showing how close we are. Now, we've had the civil unrest for 9 months, and it's continuing with Black Lives Matter, and the news media is ignoring it. We're so close to outright civil war, and we're also so close to an invasion. So these are very, very dangerous times. And that is because the pastor behind the Pope has failed. They have failed to sound the alarm. They take Romans 13. Now, you know, you talk about me traveling the nations and the communists, the dictators. They all take Romans 13 way out of context to try to control the church. It says you have to obey the government. Well, Romans 13 actually doesn't say that. It says all powers under a higher power. Now, if the government is violating that higher power, we're supposed to hold the government responsible. Now, I've written a book on the Science of Judgment, I also have a chapter in there on a Christian's responsibility to a hostile government. And so we're supposed to hold governments responsible, and there's such a thing in the military and law enforcement where I served. I was in the military in the Air Force, Strategic Air Command, and then law enforcement, investigating felony crime on the SWAT team, et cetera. But you are not supposed to obey an illegal order. Okay, there are certain things that we do not have to follow with the government. And so, you know, if they say we can't worship God, we're going to worship God anyway. I personally think that, and I call for civil disobedience when COVID, they gave all these restrictions, unconstitutional restrictions. And I said, pastors, open up your churches and go, because they're just trying to control you right now. And this is all a pretense to usher in the New World Order, the topple Donald Trump. That's all it is. They're trying to move us into a New World Order. So just open up your churches and go to church. But again, most pastors did not do that, because most pastors would do what they did in Germany. And let me get into it. Do we have a minute so I can get into Dietrich Bonhoeffer?
Yes, absolutely. And if you could tie this back into, I just got some breaking news in regards to Antifa. Andy Ngo just tweeted out that Antifa accounts on Twitter are sharing digital flyers calling for violence on March 6th, quote, cause chaos, destroy, end quote. That sounds like the enemy. Sounds like the evil one. So if you can tie that in with Dietrich Bonhoeffer and what he had to face in his time as well.
Yeah, that's good, Matt. Now, Reverend Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he's a Lutheran pastor too, or he was. He was an author, a theologian, an anti-Nazi dissident who also knew his responsibility as a Christian and a pastor. Now, he led an anti-Nazi resistance and was involved in an assassination attempt against Hitler. Now, some of Bonhoeffer's writings were, quote, Christianity's Role in the Secular World, unquote, and his book, The Cost of Discipleship. Bonhoeffer's book is a study on the Sermon on the Mount, where Bonhoeffer not only attacks, quote, cheap grace, unquote, as a cover for ethical laxity, but he also teaches, quote, costly grace, unquote. Now, I myself has written, you know, I've written articles such as A Christian's Responsibility to a Hostile Government. I wrote Cult Christianity. I wrote Apostate, among many, many others. And my website has all of my writing, you know, www.worldministries.org. Now, according to Wikipedia, 2 days after Hitler was installed as chancellor, Bonhoeffer delivered a radio address in which he attacked Hitler and warned Germany against sliding into an adulterous cult of the Führer, who could very well turn out to be a misleader, a seducer. Now, he was cut off the air in the middle of the sentence. Now, in April 1933, Bonhoeffer raised first voice for church resistance to Hitler's persecution of the Jews. Again, where are the pastors screaming out against anything going on today? I've been waiting. I've been listening. I don't hear it. You know, people used to say, you know, they used to condemn the pastors in Germany for allowing Hitler to take control and then kill 11 million Christians and 6 million Jews. Well, we're doing the same thing the Christians did, the pastors did, in Germany. We're doing nothing. There's sure a few good pastors like Bonhoeffer, but the majority are doing nothing. They're not leading. They're not protecting. You know, the sons of Issachar, who knew the times and the seasons, they were led by an Issachar who protected, who warned what was about to happen so they could be prepared. Instead of being a victim, they were a conqueror. They became prosperous. This is what pastors should have been doing the last 9 months, what they should have been doing for the last 20 years, warning about what was happening, like you and I have been, going and speaking in conferences together. But I've been sharing for 9 months what BLM was all about. You know, it's nothing but Marxism, it's communism, and led by communists. And their donations went to elect Democratic leaders. And then I shared what Antifa was. Now I shared this from the pulpit. I shared what the Democratic Party was doing right now and violating everything that Scripture said was holy. And I said, how can you vote for the Democratic Party today when they're nothing but Marxists? Every pastor should have been doing this. I mean, this is what we should have been doing behind the pulpit. This is what Bonhoeffer was doing. I'll continue with Bonhoeffer just a little bit. Again, he raised, 1933, his voice for church resistance to Hitler's persecution of Jews. He declared that the church must not simply, quote, bandage victims under the wheel, but jam a spoke in the wheel itself, unquote. On 1932 of November, 2 months before the Nazi takeover, there had been an election for presbyters and church officials of the German Protestant historical established churches. Now, this election was marked by a struggle within the old Prussian Union Evangelical Church between the nationalistic German Christian Church and the Young Reformers, a struggle that threatened to explode in a schism. Now, in July 1933, Hitler unconstitutionally imposed new church elections. But Bonhoeffer put all his efforts into the election campaign for the selection of independent, non-Nazi officials. Now, despite Bonhoeffer's efforts in the rigged July election, an overwhelming number of key church positions went to Nazi-supported Christian people. So the Dutch Christian won a majority in the general election of the old Prussian Union Evangelical Church and all of its providences except for Westphalia. In all of the other Protestant church bodies except for the Lutheran churches of three different cities, the non-Nazi opposition regarded these bodies as uncorrupted, intact, as opposed to the other so-called destroyed churches. So Bonhoeffer was the head of an underground seminary, and he trained confessing church pastors. So as the Nazi suppression of the confessing church intensified, Bonhoeffer's authorization to teach in the University of Berlin, it was revoked as he was denounced as an enemy of the state by Theodor Heckel. Now, in August 1937, Himmler declared the education and examination of confessing church ministry candidates illegal. In September 1934, the Gestapo closed the seminary and November arrested 27 pastors and former students. So Bonhoeffer spent the next 2 years secretly traveling from one German village to another to conduct seminary on the run and supervision of his students, most of whom were working illegally in small parishes throughout the area. Now, Bonhoeffer was further harassed by the Nazi authorities, forbidden to speak in public, and was required regularly to report his activities to the police. 1941, he was forbidden to print or to publish. In the meantime, Bonhoeffer joined the Abwehr, a German military intelligence organization. Under this organization, Bonhoeffer served as a courier for German resistance to reveal its existence and intentions to the Western allies in hope of garnering their support. Through his ecumenical contacts abroad to secure possible peace terms for the allies for a post-Hitler government. Now, on January 1943, Bonhoeffer became engaged to a lady, and he was 36, she was 18, but they did not see each other after they were engaged because he was arrested April 5.
And then shortly, he was killed shortly thereafter. And we have about 1 minute left. And so in that last minute, if you could, please tell listeners where they can go to learn more about this, and especially World Ministries International.
Okay. Matt Shea is exactly right. He was arrested. He was killed. And the guards were amazed at his death, sharing how bold he was and his love for Christ and his love for the guards. In fact, some of those guards were going to help him escape, but he wouldn't do it because he didn't want to get them and his relatives in trouble. Now, you can read all of these articles, including It's Time to Fight Back. It goes into the history of Bonhoeffer. Look at my website, www.worldministries.org, www.worldministries.org, www.worldministries.org. Our responsibility is like Bonhoeffer. It's like the Lutheran minister who became a colonel and then became a general and then served in the Senate. We have to do everything we can. Obey the Great Commission. We can protect America. We can rise up and stop this coup in progress if the church will rise up.
You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
But like Bonhoeffer. Do we have a minute?
You've got 20 seconds.
Okay. Well, like Bonhoeffer, the church is divided. Half of the churches, the mainline churches, are under the Federal Council of Churches, which is a Marxist, communist covering. And that's the problem in the United States. They've taken away sin, and that's who the politicians normally go to, the mainline churches. And the other half, many of our churches are lukewarm.
Reverend Dr. Jonathan Hansen, founder and president of World Ministries International. Thanks so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. I love that. I think this gives a great groundwork for what pastors should be doing. Blessings to you. Keep up the fight.
Well, thank you, Matt. You're just a great patriot, and I love being with you. God bless you.
All right. If you have not gone to World Ministries International or worldministries.org, go there. Check out Dr. Hansen. Fact of the matter is, right now, I also got some breaking news. I'm going to squeeze in the next 5 seconds. Apparently, the Rhino leadership in Olympia is on a warpath trying to get rid of conservatives. That is going to be on Lauren Culp's site tonight. Check it out. This is Matt Shea. May God bless all of you and keep up the fight.